We'll take a little more than five on this Sunday morning. Good morning to you. Susie Jones is taking a day of vacation. I hope it's someplace warm. Denny Long in this particular chair. And welcome to our health hour here on this Sunday morning. In some cases, I'll introduce you to internal medicine physician Dr. David Hilden from Hennepin Healthcare. It's good to hear you back here, Dr. Hilden.
Hey, Denny, good morning. The band got back together again. I love doing this. I love it so much. It's good to hear your voice. It's always good to be on CCO Radio and with the good people who listen in. And it's good to hear Al Schock's voice telling us how cold it's going to be. Terrifying. Well, anyway, great to be here. Happy to be with
great,
you.
Great to have you back. I was for those that don't know, of course, we're getting new listeners all the time. By the way, any general health question, we're going to zero in on a couple of things. But if you have any particular health question, keep in mind, as an internal medicine physician, Dr. Hilden treats adults. Always like to make that clear. And we're going to open up the phone lines and text line as usual. So if you have a health question for Dr. Hilden, by all means, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. I've asked you this before, Dr. Hilden. How many years did you and I do this show as a regular thing?
Yes, I think, I hung out with you more than my wife for about, 13 years, I think, Denny. We started in January of 2009. And our show ran from January of 2009 through 2021, I think. So about 12, 13 years we did. Yeah. 600-700 shows, I think we did.
Yeah, amazing. And now we'll get into it, but you have an amazing podcast that so many people love. You can, in a moment or two, tell us how we can find that and listen to that. There's just some great stuff. All right, I've given the phone number and the text number. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on, and again on the news, and people are asking me, we're talking about it, is the flu. What's going on with the flu?
Yeah, flu, gosh darn it, it didn't go away, did it? So we're sort of this year having a rough season for the respiratory viruses that people get. They always say it's cold and flu season. You've heard that for decades. Well, it really is. It is flu season, and the big culprit this year is influenza. The actual virus is influenza. It's mostly influenza A. There's some B rolling around, but we're in our worst year for flu easily in the last five. I don't have all the data sitting in front of me, but there's 5,000 people been hospitalized with flu just in Minnesota this year. That is more than the entire flu season of prior years, going back at least 5-6 years since before the COVID pandemic. So flu is really out there. It's clear in our hospital, at Hennepin Healthcare, which is runs the hospital, HCMC, and all the clinics associated with it in downtown Minneapolis and across the community. We're seeing it everywhere. It is everywhere. And people coughing and hacking. And most of the time we're telling folks, you're going to be okay. The vast majority of people with influenza get an illness you wish you didn't have. Mm. But you do usually recover in a few days for the worst of it. Fever, bad cough, aches and pains, that's a few days. But then many people are getting couple, 3-4 weeks of cough and fatigue. So it's really hitting people hard this year. Vaccinations are still your best route to go. They're not perfect, but we always say we can't let the perfect become the enemy of the really good. Just because something is not perfect doesn't mean we don't do it. Wearing your seatbelt is not perfect, but you do it anyway, don't you? Even if you've never been in a car accident, you still do it. So even if you've never had the flu, get your flu shot, please. It's better than nothing, and it'll probably keep you out of the hospital. The vast majority of people in the hospital are the ones who didn't get vaccinated.
Dr. Hilden is with us, David Hilden, this morning. And as far as the shot itself goes, and I know we always did get questions, is it too late? Can I still get, a flu shot? Here we are in the middle of February, and you're saying, yeah, do it, right?
Yeah, it's not too late, but it's not ideal. I'll be honest with you. Right. You should get it in October, either in September or October, certainly by November. It does take a couple weeks to kick in. It doesn't do anything the day you got it except give you maybe a little sore arm. But it takes a couple of weeks for your your body to practice with it. That's what a vaccine is. It's your body practicing for when the real deal hits. So it takes a couple weeks. So if you get it now, you're going to be protected in March. And that's just the last month or two of the season. So still get it now if you haven't had it yet. But next year, maybe think about getting it in October.
You know, we were talking last night here at home about other shots, and I'm thinking, you know, what's this RSV, and what about the COVID shots? Where do we stand in that? What should or do we not need to do?
Yeah, and as people know, COVID is a moving target. It's different than flu. It's a different virus. It's called by a different respiratory virus. This year is roughly the same as the last year. It's still out there. It's not great. You still don't want to get it. But it is less prevalent than influenza this year. The COVID vaccines have to change annually as well. I think it'll likely be an annual recommendation, although we're not sure yet. But I do strongly recommend you get your COVID vaccine anytime. You can get that right now. Because it is still out there. RSV is a virus that we've also known about for ages, and it has been a really bad virus for babies. We're talking infants, less than 2 years old, babies, and older adults. So I do recommend RSV vaccines, especially if you're an older adult listening to this. If you're over 75, you really should consider getting your RSV vaccine. Your RSV, COVID, and flu vaccines, the 1-2-3 punch of respiratory viruses, and then go live your life. Don't worry as much, you know, just live your life, but get the vaccines for the best protection.
All right. On that note, let's take a quick break. Again, invite our listeners. We're going to pick up on some text messages when we return. If you're just joining us, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, answering your general health questions, among other things, this morning here on CCO. 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, it's 2 above. We might hit today 9 above. We're going to get down to 13 below tonight. And tomorrow night, we're going to get down to 18 below. We'll get you details in a few minutes here. On News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with it. 2 above 0 in the Twin Cities. Denny Long in for the vacationing Susie Jones. She will be back next week. If you are just joining us, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, answering those general health questions this morning, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. I know we have some text messages to field. Let's do that. Then I want to talk about our hearts. Why don't you grab I know you can see the text screen. Let's go for a couple.
We'll do that. We will talk about hearts in a little bit. It is February's Heart Awareness Month, and so we can talk about that. But let's go to the text lines. There's already more probably than I can answer, but send them in. Send them in. I'd love to hear from you, listeners, about what's on your mind. So let's send them in. I'm going to try to get to all of them. First one came in this morning. It said, "Is why is it not recommended to not use diclofenac or Voltaren on your hips, shoulders, and your back?" So this is a really good question. Voltaren is the brand name for a topical medicine. Comes in gels and solutions and the like. The generic, the real name is diclofenac. It's sort of like, think of it as ibuprofen in a gel. And ibuprofen is of the medications that are non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. These are great anti-inflammatories. And so wouldn't it be cool if you didn't have to swallow them? And you could just put it right on the joint that's hurting you. And so diclofenac does kind of work, but whenever you put something on your skin, it doesn't get as far in as you think. You know, it only goes a little bit. And so if you have to put it on a joint that is complicated, big, and deep inside your body, like the shoulder, then you have to really slather this stuff on there, and it doesn't work very well. It doesn't get deep enough, and then you have to use so much of it, the side effects could be stronger. And the little bit that gets into your bloodstream can lead to things like stomach problems. It can even lead to heart problems. So if you put it on your hands, or maybe your knee even, or, you know, the littler joints, knee's pretty big joint, but hands and knees and feet joints and wrists, it might help a little bit with your joint pain without too much getting into your body. It's probably not the end of the world if you put some on your shoulder or your neck or your back, but it's not likely to help, and you're going to probably have to use too much. That's why it's not really the best choice for those conditions. We have time for another one here. Let's go to this one. This one says, I'm 75 years old. My essential tremors are getting worse. It's even affecting my speech. Your thoughts? Yeah, essential tremors used to be called benign essential tremors. They sort of got rid of all that. They kind of call them a primary tremor now. Primary just means that it's not really due to anything underlying that's horrible. That's not the medical term, but it's just, it isn't all that bad. You didn't have a stroke, or there's not like some massive neurologic damage. We're not really sure, but your nerves are just playing tricks with you. There are ways to keep a benign essential tremor or a primary tremor under control. There are medications that work actually quite well. I use them on my patients all the time. They're called beta blockers. The most common one is an old one called propranolol. I'm not suggesting you take that. I can't suggest any specific medical advice on a show. But these medications are pretty effective, and you can take it, and it might calm down your tremor enough so that you can talk better. You can eat soup better, or put peas on your fork. You know, these are things that people can't do with their tremors. So you might want to consider one of those medications, but of course, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Every case is different. The other thing about primary tremors, just see your doctor or your neurologist to make sure it is not something else. Sometimes tremors are due to other things, Parkinson's and various other things. But an essential tremor doesn't look at all like a Parkinsonian tremor, so your doctor can easily tell those apart.
Very good. You mentioned Heart Month. Tell us about that, if you would.
Yeah, February's Heart Month from the American Heart Association. You're supposed to wear red and be aware of your heart. Heart disease is still by far the most common cause. That and cancer are the big two things that people get. So heart disease can affect everybody, men, women. Women, if you're especially over your 50s, if you're in your 60s or older, women, you have heart disease as much or more than the men in your life. So kids and young adults can get heart disease. So things that we're really recommending, at least I'm recommending this month, is know your blood pressure. In fact, I do a podcast. It's called Healthy Matters, same as the show. You know, and our episode that dropped today, just this morning, is about high blood pressure. And high blood pressure is called hypertension. Hyper is a word from, what's that from? It's Greek, means high. Tension is from the Latin, which means stretching. So it's high stretching of your blood vessels. And get your blood pressure down. If it's too high, get it down. I don't care how you do it. Use whatever medications your doctor recommends. Lay off salt, get it down. Whatever you can do. Hypertension or high blood pressure is a modifiable, you can change it, risk factor for heart disease. And so, and also go to healthymatters.org and you can listen to Dr. Rubishet Ayanu, a cardiologist, wax poetic about hypertension.
Those podcasts, I've said it before, are tremendous because you zero in on a topic. There's no interruptions. You really delve into it. And I know members of my family tell me, hey, you got to check this one out. This is really great. And it really is, especially, it's amazing. You mentioned this, I think, last show, because I wanted to look at the one about feet. And
we do a variety of topics on it. We do two episodes a month. If you don't want to listen to a podcast, just go to the website. Go on your computer. Type healthymatters.org, all one big word, healthymatters.org. I even, you know, my picture's on there. I even got a haircut for the picture. So, you know, I hope you'll do it because, you know, I had to go get a haircut. So I hope you'll look at the picture.
But did you get into makeup?
Oh, gosh, I didn't do that. You know, I got my lashes done, Danny. I got a little Botox. And no, I didn't do any of that. But I did. I went all out. I got my haircut. I even put on a white lab coat in the picture on the website. And for people who know me, I haven't worn a white lab coat in the doctor's office for 25 years. I'm just not a white lab coat guy. But I put one on for the picture, got my hair cut. But in all seriousness, we do shows twice a month about things. They're always about 25 minutes long. It's about the length of time it takes you to do the dishes or walk on the treadmill or commute to wherever you're going. We've done gout. The most popular shows we've done have been about food and nutrition. People want to know what to eat. We've done lots of cardiology, diabetes. The gout one was big. The colonoscopy episode was huge. I even did one where we rode along with one of the Hennepin Healthcare paramedics, the best in the business.
Yeah.
And I did one where I rode along with them on the streets of Minneapolis and did a podcast there. So check it out. Wherever you get your podcasts, wherever that might be. Also, if you don't get podcasts, go to healthymatters.org.
Yeah, it's great stuff. We'll remind our listeners before you take your leave today. In the meantime, call in your health question or send a text if it's easier, 651-461-9226. What do you say we grab another text before we hear the forecast?
That sounds great. Let me see. This one, I probably can't do it in just a minute, but I'll do my best for to talk about celiac disease. Could you please explain what celiac disease is? What does it do to your system, and what future problems can it cause? Does gluten sensitivity always lead to celiac? The latter, no. A lot of people are gluten sensitive. Gluten is a protein that is found in wheat and other grains, not just wheat, but mostly wheat. And wheat is in everything, it just seems. Some people are sensitive to that, and they get stomach upset and milder symptoms. But celiac disease is an autoimmune disease where your body doesn't like that gluten protein so much that it attacks the lining of your own intestines. That's what celiac disease does. And your small intestine just gets ripped apart. So if you look at the lining of your small intestines in a person with celiac disease, it's kind of flat. It's just kind of flat. Whereas if you look at the lining of an intestine of a normal person without celiac, your intestinal lining has ridges and waves to it, and the surface area of your intestines is very high because it's irregular. That's normal. Celiac, that gets destroyed, and you can't absorb things. So you get anemic, you get belly pain, and there are fortunately good treatments for it. There's blood tests for celiac disease. Now, you don't always need a biopsy. And there are good treatments for celiac disease. But a lot of people do suffer from gluten issues. And our highly processed foods that we eat are not good in general. I don't want to be too specific about that. But we should be careful about the foods we eat. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Hang on, Dr. Hilden, please. We'll take a break. We have the final half hour coming ahead here on CCR Radio. But just joining us again, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, back with us on CCO. Denny in for Susie. She'll be back next week. We'll have a look at that forecast next. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. It's Sunday morning to you. Welcome back to our Health Hour. Denny in for Susie. She'll be back next week. In the meantime, if you're just joining us, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, answering those health questions this morning. And we have many. We have callers, Dr. Hilden. We have texters. Let's grab a phone call. Diane is checking in from St. Paul, I believe, this morning. Hi, Diane. What's your question for Dr. Hilden?
Good morning. It's great to hear both of you again on the radio.
Thank you.
I have a darkened spot on my left great toe under the nail. It's perhaps the size of an eraser, but it's not wild. It's rectangular. And I've had it for months and months and months, but never noticed discomfort. And this morning I pressed on it and got a sharp pain in that toe. And I'm just wondering, melanoma, I know, is something that's a dark spot, but normally around. Could there be something like that there that I need to have checked?
Hi, Diane. Thanks for calling in, and it's great to hear your voice today. It's hard to know without seeing it, but melanoma can be anywhere on your body, and melanoma is the skin cancer that is the one we're most concerned about. So anything that hasn't been there or that has been there for a long time, you might want to have that looked at. But I want to say it doesn't sound like melanoma. So with the caveat that melanoma is something we should look at, and if it doesn't go away, should probably have that looked at. It sounds more like blood, to be honest. People do, but I can't see it, but people get a bleed, a little hematoma, a little blood under your toenail. And if it's particularly, if it's kind of well subscribed, it's got borders, you know, perhaps that it just had a little bleed under there. It's called a subungual hematoma. Because doctors like to find hard words when a simpler word would have done. You know, it's blood under the toenail, but wait, subungual hematoma. That can easily be drained. But frankly, it doesn't have anywhere to go. These little bleeds under the toenail don't have anywhere to go. There's nowhere for the blood to go. It's like stuck under the toenail, which is kind of stuck to the bed. And so your doctor can do a procedure and get rid of it, if it's blood. And that's why it could last a long time. Even if it's blood, you'd think, well, wouldn't that go away? Not necessarily. It could be there for weeks or months until we get rid of it. So it's a little blood clot. But do have it looked at. It'd be an extremely unusual place for a skin cancer to show up, but it's something to look at. My guess is that you had a little trauma to the toe and it bled a little bit.
All right. Tell you what, I can see we have a ton of text messages. You want to grab a couple here?
Yeah, let's do that, Danny. Thanks. Okay. Somebody did say that they were listening to, they saw an ad for hypertension with a famous person from the national media saying you shouldn't treat your blood pressure with medication. I won't say the person's name, but that's incorrect. You should treat your blood pressure with everything that you possibly can, whatever it takes to get it down. I do recommend, if you have high blood pressure, that you do the non-medication things first. Exercise. Exercises, you just, everybody listening, do whatever can within your ability levels. Not everybody can run a marathon. You don't have to. But be active as you can. Eat as healthy as you can. Eat as fewer ultra-processed foods as you can. Eat more plants. Eat lower on the food chain. Do all those things. Keep your stress down in your life to the degree you can. But if your blood pressure is still high, there's limits to what you can do. You should take medications in that case. There's a risk-benefit to everything we do in life. The risk of allowing your high blood pressure to continue is far higher than the risk of any medication. So here's another question. Do you need the RSV vaccine every year? Not currently, no. The RSV, although the virus is old, the vaccine's only been around a couple years now for older adults. So we're recommending you get it one time in your adult life if you're over 75. That could change. So tune in a year or two. That could change. People often ask me, why do the recommendations always change for things like vaccines? It's because science isn't truth. Science is the pursuit of truth. And when new information comes up, a scientist or a thinking person should always question what we've done. And that's what we do. And so if we have new information about RSV, we will tell you. But for now, one time. Should we get to another one, Danny? Do we have some time for more?
Yeah,
okay.
Let's do that.
Here we go. Here's a texter that I just lost off the screen, but it was about SGLT2 medications and tricuspid valves. Here it is. I was told I have severe tricuspid leakage and was told SLG meds are used. SLG meds are, they stand for, oh, I forgot, something like glucose co-transport mechanism, whatever it is. It's SLG2. They're for diabetes. These were medications invented for diabetes, and they're terrific. But it turns out, as luck would have it, in the scientific process, we found out they're also pretty darn good for your heart and your kidneys. And so if you have heart failure, and if you're at risk of kidney disease, SGLT2 medications, things like Jardiance, these are medications that you might be prescribed. If you have diabetes and heart disease, they're really good for that. If you have diabetes and kidney disease, they're really good for that. But even if you don't have diabetes, there's some new emerging evidence that these medications are good for your heart. I am not an expert on tricuspid valves. They are the valves that are in the right side of your heart, the right side. And so I'm not an expert in that, but I think that it's likely that they'll be helpful for that as well.
You know, you're talking about blood pressure, and I was anticipating a couple of questions. What do you physicians consider normal now? It used to be, 120 over 80? Is that still a target?
Yeah, they changed it, Danny, to make life interesting for us, because we have realized that there's no perfect number for high blood pressure, and that if you're this number, you're good, and if you're 1 point higher, you're bad. It's more of a continuum. But the current definition of normal blood pressure is less than 120 over 80. That's normal. 120 over 80. If you're in the 120s, then you're considered a little bit elevated and you should exercise more and eat right and do all those things. If you're 130 over that, 130 over 80, that's the new definition of high blood pressure. Everything from 130 over 80 and higher is high blood pressure. The old number of 140 over 90, that is definitely. We even call that stage 2. you're at stage 1 high blood pressure in the 130s over the 80s, and you're at stage 2 high blood pressure if you're higher than 140 over 90. Those are the definitions now.
All right. Should we grab another text?
Yeah, this one says, Dr. Hilden, what are some of the most popular antidepressant medications? There's a lot of antidepressant medications, and they have varying profiles of who they're best for and what their side effects are, so I wouldn't be able to get into all of them. But the most common ones that are prescribed initially are of the SSRI category, selective serotonin release and uptake inhibitors. These are medications that don't add serotonin to your brain, but they prevent your body from degrading that serotonin that you already have. And serotonin levels are connected to your mood. So the SSRIs are things like, the first one was invented years ago, fluoxetine, Prozac. It's still good. Even today, it's an effective medication. But there's a zillion other ones. They generally end in a similar suffix. But there's sertraline, fluoxetine, paroxetine. They are Zoloft, Paxil, Prozac, the newer ones, Lexapro, Celexa, Cymbalta. Those are the common ones. Again, I can't recommend any specific medication to anybody who's listening, but those are just some of the classes that are effective. They're not perfect, but they are effective and life-changing for many people. Not everybody, but for many people. Do I have time for another one?
Yes, let's go for it.
Let's see. This one says, what's the latest with ALS? Any new treatment? I wish there were. ALS is a severe neurodegenerative disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, otherwise known as Lou Gehrig's disease. For people of a certain age, might remember Lou Gehrig and the famous speech at Yankee Stadium. There are some new supportive treatments. There are some things on the horizon, but there's not a ton of new information on treatment. I do refer you to the podcast. We did an episode with Dr. Sam Miser, an expert and just a wonderful human being. He's a neurologist that talked about ALS at healthymatters.org. But it is devastating, I'll be honest. And shout out to my cousin Steve, who died of ALS. Mm-hmm. And he was a brilliant human being.
Terrible.
So thank you for that text.
I wanted to ask you, before we take a break, about colleagues or maybe up and coming, how do we sit with new doctors coming in or new other healthcare professionals? Is there still a great need?
Yeah, for people going into it?
Yeah, I mean, just people retire.
Yeah.
And maybe don't go to school. What is our situation?
It's a huge situation, Denny. It's an interesting question because the biggest shortage of healthcare practitioners will be in primary care. There'll be tens of thousands of physician shortage. And it's a different profession than it was. Even when I went into it 25 years ago, it's hard. No one wants to, sing a sad song for your doctor. But at the same time, mental health issues and frankly, suicide rates in physicians are 4 times higher than non-physician population. Oh. It's just stressful. And so that's why I try to add a bit of humor to life because it's stressful. But that aside, it is our healthcare system is an industry largely, and I think it is not always best set up to serve our patients. And then the doctors get something, what we have a term, we talk about it every day of my life at work, moral injury. When you know what is supposed to be done and you can't because the system won't allow you. And that's our healthcare system. So not as many are going into it, but it's not all doom and gloom. Many people are still going, the kids these days who are going into medicine, I teach medical students every single day of my life. They're brilliant. They're wonderful. They're generation, not Xers, they're Zs. They're not even millennials anymore. They're generation Zs. They're wonderful. They're smart. They're committed. The next generation is going to be fine. We just need more of them, to be honest. And also, we have nurse practitioners, and we have PAs, and we have chiropractors.
Yes.
We have acupuncturists. So there's a lot of other wonderful people in the healthcare system. So you're right. I think primary care is in a little bit of a trouble going forward. I don't think it's possible to maintain the system we have given our current payment system. It's an industry, and what we need it to be is more helpful to patients. I'll be straight up with you. I think we need a single-payer healthcare system. That's what we're going to need in 10 years.
Yeah.
And until we have that, we're going to be a little bit of trouble.
Seems
a little
obvious,
bit of politics there, but it is, in the long run, cheaper,
yeah,
cheaper, and will deliver better healthcare outcomes.
Absolutely. All right, Dr. Hilden, hang on. We'll take a bit of a break and get back to the remaining minutes. Dr. Hilden will be picking up on more text messages when we come back here on our Health Hour, News Talk 830 WCCO. Please stay with us. 7:49 in the morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Health Hour. Denny Long here for Susie Jones, who will be back next week. In the meantime, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, is answering those questions. Boy, Dr. Hilden, we could probably go another 3 hours.
I think
if we had
could,
the
Denny.
Time.
I love these listeners. I love all you guys for sending in your texts and your phone calls.
Well, let's put you back to work. Let's see how many we can field before you take your leave.
All right. Here's one about restless legs. It says, is restless leg syndrome permanent? My doc can't find remedy after my knee replacement. So restless legs is this irresistible urge to move your legs, especially at nighttime. And it's not because you're there's something wrong with you. It's just that your nerves just have – we're not sure what causes it, but your nerves just are firing and they want you to move. So that's what people have to do in the middle of the night. They have to get up and walk. There are treatments for it. Is it permanent? Not necessarily. Sometimes it's due to something like anemia or metabolic deficiencies or underlying mostly metabolic diseases. When I say metabolic, something going on with your body's internal processes. So if you can fix the underlying cause, then great. But most people who have restless legs don't have an identifiable underlying cause. It just is. Those are harder. You might have that for a long time, but there are many medications to try. Keep working on it. I know your doctor has tried, but I would keep it up. There are several things to try, and hopefully you can get a little bit of relief with that. Here's one that says a TIA or a seizure in the elderly. How can you tell the difference? A seizure is an abnormal firing of the nerves of your brain. It can be something small, like in one arm, or it can be your whole brain in what we used to call a grand mal seizure, now called a generalized tonic-clonic seizure. A stroke is a vascular problem, and a TIA is a vascular problem. So how do you tell them apart? A stroke is usually, or a TIA, which is just basically a stroke that doesn't last very long, is a very focal deficit in one of your body's neurologic function. Your arm goes weak. Your speech goes bad. But it is not a shaking convulsion kind of a thing. Strokes aren't like a shaking. But I'm going to be honest with the texter. Sometimes they can mimic each other. You could have a little seizure that looks like a stroke in your, and so it's sometimes hard to tell. The thing I'm trying to say is if you're having a symptom, go be seen. If this is new to you, don't wait. Strokes are time is of the essence, as they say. If you have a neurologic problem, your arm gets weak, your speech goes bad suddenly, you do have a shaking of some kind, even though that's not like a stroke so much, you can't be sure. Go to the doctor. Do it quickly. There's a thing called be fast. If the fast is if your face is drooping, the A is if your arm is weak, the S is if your speech has changed, the T stands for it's time. Go in and have that be seen because you can't always tell them apart.
Right,
let's see, somebody, let's do a couple others. I'll go back here. There was one about, I have a sugar addiction. Any tips to help me? My clinic never tests the A1C, just the blood sugar. You can check your A1C, which is just the average blood sugar over the last 3 months. But if you're over 40, I would get your A1C checked at least once, see what it is. But you don't have to get an A1C done. It's simply a measure of your blood sugars. But I'd rather get your blood sugar tested. I don't care how you do it. A blood glucose, an A1C, either is okay. But the texter says, I have a sugar addiction. That's what I would address. So much of our health is dependent on what we eat. And refined sugars, simple sugars, they have few redeeming qualities other than they taste good. I would strongly encourage you to lay off of refined sugars. Don't drink your calories like in pop. We're from Minnesota. The correct term is pop. If you're listening elsewhere, that's soda. Lay off of sugary soda pops. Lay off of candies, all those things, energy drinks. Be careful what you add to your coffee. Sugars are not particularly good for you. So that's the thing I would really ask that person to do is be careful about how much sugar you eat. I know it's hard, but it's still worth trying.
I think we have time for maybe one more before we talk about some podcasts.
Okie dokie. Let me see if I can find another one here. There's a lot of them. Here's one person that says, oh, about chilblains. Do I have to move to Florida Keys? Is that the only remedy for chilblains? And somebody else said they have COVID toes. That's a different texter. Chilblains or COVID toes are these inflammatory red fingers or mostly toes. They're usually your toes. That is often due to coming in from the cold, and we don't really know what they're caused by, to be honest. Yes, moving to the Florida Keys is one treatment. So I think I do recommend that strongly, that you move to the Florida Keys. And now that you know that I'm kidding, when you live in Minnesota, just warm your hands and toes slowly. Wear good hands and mittens. When you come inside, warm them slowly, and hopefully they won't become too much of a problem. Why the COVID resulted in chilblains, nobody knows. At least, well, maybe somebody does. I don't know. But it is an inflammatory condition where your toes get all gruesome looking, to be honest. So you can put on anti-inflammatories like hydrocortisone or something, and that might help, but it might not. So just that's something that is probably not dangerous and might be a fact of life of living in some colder areas.
Dr. Hilden, we're in our final 2 minutes or so. For those that maybe may have missed it, and I really urge them to check out your podcast. How do we do that, and what kind of stuff do we
Yeah, if you listen to podcasts normally, go wherever you normally do that. And if you don't, just go to your computer. Type healthymatters.org. It's all one word, healthymatters.org. You can scroll very quickly beyond my face and then look at the episodes page, and you can just listen to it on your computer right there. On your computer speakers. There's a show today about hypertension. But you don't have to listen to them when they come out. You listen to them at your convenience. Just go whenever you want and just browse through the archive. There's 4 seasons. And you can look what topic looks interesting to you. They're about 20 to 30 minutes long. And you can do that anytime, day or night, healthymatters.org. And I hope you do. I wouldn't recommend doing it from 7 to 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings, because you should be listening to Denny or Susie Jones and WCCO. My best friends in broadcasting are at WCCO. You should be listening to them at 7 a.m. But when you're doing the dishes, healthymatters.org.
Yeah, that's just a fun show. It's a great job. Dr. Hilden, always a pleasure. Always so much fun. You bring us so much information on a level we can understand. It's so appreciative. I know our listeners love it. I hope we do this again sometime.
I do too, Denny. If you I call me up. I'll spend an hour with you, Denny Long, and Sunday morning whenever you ask. If I can, I'm in.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. Stay warm now, and we'll talk soon.
All right. So long.
Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare. I tell you what, I maybe mentioned this at one of our state fair shows, but he, in my opinion, is what a doctor should be. We're lucky to have him. 2 above 0 in the Twin Cities. I know we're going to break for CBS News, and then get ready for Bruce and Peg from Wealth Enhancement Group and more of your money. Again, Denny in for Susie. She'll be back next week. I promise you that. Partly sunny skies today. We do have some serious cold weather coming up. We're going to be at 13 below overnight tonight. We'll only get up for the holiday tomorrow to 2 below, but then we're really cold tomorrow night, 18 below. So you stay tuned to WCCO. We'll keep you well informed on this weather situation. In the meantime, stay tuned next for Your Money. Right now, 2 degrees above 0 here on CCO.